For anyone who's listening to this episode right now, we might not have seen each other before, but I already know one thing about you. That is, you are a creator. Welcome to another episode of the Toolkit for Quarter Life podcast. I'm your friend Kitty, as in Hello Kitty. Here you'll find all the tools you need to go through the quarter life crisis. Let's make these years count. Now, you might be thinking, what do you mean creating something brand new? I'm not born for that. That's exactly what I thought 3 years ago before I published my first video on Red, a Chinese social media platform like Instagram and YouTube combined. For the first 2 months, I gained 10,000 subscribers. This June, I also launched this podcast, Toolkit for Quarter Life. In creative living, your content can be anything. It's not necessarily social media related stuff. It can be literally anything in life. You might have a novel script with just a beginning from your secondary school. You might have bought an expensive camera for YouTube channel, which is gathering dust. You might have enrolled in a watercolor class on Skillshare and hope you never started the annual subscription, which is a lot. Whatever you want to create, the next 7 lessons will help you meet the creator within you and start your creative living anytime. Lesson number 1, you have to be a disaster. I've been thinking about starting a video channel for ages, and I did do many things for it. I spent hours watching Adobe Premiere, I searched for the best camera, and I watched tons of YouTube videos on how those people get their 50,000 followers in just under a month. What I didn't do, though, is to just press record and post. Flashback to January the 1st, 2021, it was tier 5 lockdown and I had nothing to do. So that's when I shot my very first video, which was a complete disaster. I share some common sense on how to embrace a new year, how to set new year resolutions. The entire video was very shaky, dim. It was filmed on my desk where I normally fell asleep during Zoom lectures. I mean, who can stay awake for 2 hours straight? In Zoom. And it was also shot on my phone's front camera. Very unprofessional, but I couldn't afford any other equipment. The next day, that video got 7 likes, as expected. But then I started to think, okay, it's kind of fun and easy. I used my creativity to say what I wanted to say. I created something brand new in this world. As for my friends and family, before posting, I thought they might make fun of my work, or they might say, why don't you concentrate on your study or finding the job rather than wasting your time on this? I can't do that anymore. But instead, they said they loved the work. Most of them know that I have an interest in creating, or say in video editing, for a long time. I've done relevant things before for schoolwork or just for hobbies, and lots of them even gave me lots of practical advice on how I could improve. Like, don't speak English. No one likes to listen to that in a Chinese social media platform, which made lots of sense. So I was like, that's not as hard as I thought. Why not post a video every single day for January and see where it'll take me? And that's what I did, and that's how everything started. Fast forward, here I am with a tripod, lightning ring, and a wireless mic. I have over 40,000 subscribers now, even though I still film all my videos using the front camera. Still couldn't afford it. Here's the takeaway. Start before you are ready. Usually when we say we can't do something, what we mean is we won't do something unless we can guarantee that we'll do it perfectly. I assure you that the very first piece of your work, whether it's a video, a song, a handicraft, a podcast, a novel, is going to be incredibly terrible. But so what? A common mistake we make is to measure our beginning work against those masterworks of other artists. We don't compare our student films to George Lucas's student films. Instead, we compare them to Star Wars. You have to be a disaster before you become a master. Lesson number 2, which is my biggest learning from the book Big Magic. That is, your fear is so boring. Let's get real for a sec. Why do we never make that start? Is it laziness? Is it procrastination? Is it lack of equipment? Nah, none of that. Let's call it fear. It is not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It is because we do not dare that they are difficult. You're afraid you're too old to start. You're afraid you're too young to start. You're afraid you don't have the right kind of discipline. You're afraid you don't have the right kind of workspace, financial freedom, or empty hours. You're afraid somebody else already did it better. You're afraid everybody else already did it better. You're afraid your dreams are embarrassing. You're afraid you neglected your creativity for so long that now you can never get it back. You're afraid what your peers, coworkers, or family will say if you express your personal truth aloud. The list goes on. I use some of the examples from the book Big Magic, but the original list was way longer. Does any of these sound like you? But your fear is so boring. It's so boring because it's identical to everybody else's fear. We can all tick many boxes on the list. It's boring because it's the same every single day. My fears today are 80% the same as those I had 3 years ago. It's boring because it never changed, never delighted, never offered a surprise twist or an unexpected ending. Your fear is so boring. But creativity is so unique. Your personality is so original. Your stories, dreams, aspirations are so special and they all deserve a chance to shine. Just being there, just showing up, means you're already way ahead on a creative journey than most people. As Elizabeth wrote in Big Magic, I never promised the universe I'll be a good writer. I just promised I will be a writer. So, what is your promise? Lesson number 3. Nothing is original. Have you ever used dating apps before? Do you want to make some improvement on it? I have an episode recommendation, which is Decoding Dating Apps. Is True Love Just a Swipe Away? In this podcast. I got the idea for the episode because I know someone who deleted all the apps the next day she met her future to-be husband. I also know someone who went to see a therapist after using apps for a month. That got me curious. How the heck do all these dating apps really work? And that's where I got the idea for the podcast episode. This is the one of my favorite episodes because I did so much research for it. To prepare for the episode, I listened to all the other podcast episodes talking about dating apps, both in English and in Mandarin. I watched all the TED Talks I can find on this topic. I read a book on relation shopping and I read an article on the algorithm behind Tinder. I even interviewed lots of coworkers on their apps experience and rejected a male colleague when he insisted I should take his phone, talk to all his matches to ask someone out for him, and give his phone back. So basically, this episode is 90% references. As you can see, most of my episode has lots of references in the resource section. Is it just copying? According to Picasso, art is theft. If you copy from one author, it's plagiarism, but if you copy from many, it's research. When people call something original, 9 out of 10 times, they just don't know the references or the original sources involved, according to Steal Like an Artist. Nothing is completely original. You don't need to stress about being the first person out there. Everyone imitates before they can innovate. Almost every problem you have, you want to talk about, has already been discussed by some other human beings hundreds, if not thousands of years before you in all those ancient books. I'm not the first one talking about dating apps and I won't be the last one. Most things have already been done, but they have not been done by you, in your voice, in your words, in your way. What's your most authentic way of delivering your point? Stop thinking about originality. Start thinking about authenticity. Lesson number 4. Frustration is the work. According to Manson, everything sucks some of the time. So does your creative work. Before I started content creation, I thought it was going to be a very linear process, like a very linear line where it's a little bit flat in the beginning, meaning I would struggle a little bit. Then I'll work my ass off, I'll get lots of subscribers, and all my content will start going viral ever since. Reality check? more like a bunch of twisted lines goes in circle back and forth. My latest videos can still get fewer than 100 likes, even when I have over 40,000 subscribers. Every time that happens, every time a video doesn't perform that well, or say perform really shitty, all this negative thoughts would just come flooding in. Is my effort all wasted? I spent so many hours filming, editing, scripting. Maybe I just don't have the talent for it. Maybe I should stop right here. Or maybe I should just stop right here. What I didn't know then is creative living is gambling. And it will always be. Your next piece of work can be Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but it can also be Ant-Man 3. There's no guaranteed success in creative realms. Learning how to endure your disappointment and frustration is part of the job of a creative person. Frustration is not an interruption of your process. Frustration is the process. You don't need to know what anything means or why this piece of work doesn't perform. We just need to own our disappointment. Acknowledge it for what it is. Let ourselves heal and move on. Do it whether the final product is gold or crap. Do it whether people get it or don't get it. Do it whether the artists love you or hate you or they've never heard of you. Interestingly, the two videos that got most likes so far, one for over 10,000, one for over 40,000, were all published after I have been in a rut for a while. So get comfortable with being misunderstood, with being hurt or ignored. The trick is to be too busy doing the work you care. Keep moving, keep going. Next, always next. You have no time and it's brilliant. One of the major concerns we have when it comes to creating something is whether we have the time for that, especially when we have a day job. However, for those listening who already have a day job, congratulations, because it's one of the best advantages for our art. Because it's one of the best advantages for your art. Because it keeps our creativity free and safe. That's what Toni Morrison did when she used to get up at 5 a.m. in order to work on her novels before going off to her real life. That's what Ali Abdul did when he wrote his YouTube script during breaks of working as an NHS doctor. It's also what Yu Shouhua, a Chinese poet with cerebral palsy, did when she wrote poems during farm work and wrote down sentences like, "When the moonlight falls on your left hand." When I started my video channel, I was still studying, but I also juggled roles. I was a full-time master's student. I was a part-time intern at a startup. I was also an IELTS instructor for some Chinese students who wanted to study abroad. So I made a pact with myself. All the work and study should wrap up before 9 p.m. After which, all the time is for content. And that pact not only kind of makes sure I had enough time for content creation in the very consistent pace, but also encourage me or push me to be more productive during the day so I can still meet all the deadlines. Parkinson's law. People don't do this kind of thing because they have all the extra time and energy for it. They do this kind of thing because their creativity matters to them enough that they're willing to make all the extra sacrifices for it, no matter what. Most individuals have never had enough time and they never had enough resource or reward or support, and yet they persist in creating. They persist because they care. They persist because they are called to be makers by all means necessary. Lesson number 6, no one's thinking about you. I once posted a video on Bilibili, which is another video platform in China, but I'm not very active on it. The video was named as "You're Never Gonna Be a Pretty," talking about the ridiculous beauty standards prevailing in China at this moment. But before I even delved into the heart of the topic, some interesting comments popped up. "Shut up, I'm the world's prettiest." Or things like, "Oh yeah, so are you ugly? You're also never gonna be pretty." Initially, I was disheartened. Why wouldn't people today just spare 5 minutes to complete the video and understand my point? I mean, stolen focus. But then I had an epiphany. It's not about me. It's about them. That's exactly the second rule in four agreements, right? Don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say or do is a result of their own dream and perception of their own rules. Be it a negative comment or harsh criticism, it really says more about them rather than about you and your work. There's another example in Big Magic. The author mentioned that after releasing a new novel, she found herself fixated on a character she felt was underdeveloped and eagerly scanned reader feedback. Yet the feedback she encountered was all over the map. Some people wished the novel had been shorter, some wished it were longer. Some readers wished the story had more dogs in it, others wished it has less masturbation. Her conclusion is that a whole bunch of people had some opinions about the novel for a short while, and then everyone moved on. Because people are mostly just thinking about themselves. People think more about what to have for lunch today rather than your work. People don't have the time to worry about what you're doing or how well you're doing it, because they all have their own lives to worry about, they all have their own drama to deal with. And that's why you are free. Lesson number 7, don't take it too seriously. I mean, take your creative work seriously, sure, but don't take it too seriously and dwell on the outcome. The number of subscribers, the extra income you make, the comment from experts, they're just side products of your creativity, not the end goal. Keep in mind that most of history, people just make things and they didn't make such a big freaking deal out of it. Our ancestors didn't stop drawing on the wall even when they might be eaten by a wolf the next day. We make things because we like making things. The pizza, the novel, the hand show, the podcast, the handicraft, the poem. Just start and keep creating. As mentioned in Big Magic, bringing those treasures to light takes work and faith and focus and courage and hours of devotion. And the clock is ticking. And the world is spinning, and we simply do not have time anymore to think so small. You're worthy, regardless of the outcome. You keep making your work, regardless of the outcome. You keep sharing your work, regardless of the outcome. You never lose trust in creative process, even when you don't understand the outcome. The outcome cannot matter. As you create, you will be led. Your creativity will heal yourself and others. Your creativity will always lead you to truth and love. Are you considering becoming a creative person? Too late. You already are one. If you are alive, you are a creative person. This is for today's episode of Toolkit for Our 20s. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to a podcast. If you like the type of content, I encourage you to follow the show and leave a review, please. Tell me what you love about this episode, which is your favorite episode, and what you want to hear me talk about in the future. I'm your host, Kitty, as in Hello Kitty. Have a good rest of your day. See you in the next episode.